Tom. I found this interesting. This story came out earlier this week, yet back in 2004, you saw what was going to happen when we talk about the serious financial troubles that were going to occur for many school districts around the area. We didn't listen to those forecasts, did we?
No, in fact, Julie Mack, a Kalamazoo education writer for the Kalamazoo Gazette, contacted me recently and said, didn't I remember a report that you wrote in 2004 that basically foreshadowed the problems we're faced with? And I said, yes, it is a report that I wrote. It was called Structural Problems Facing Michigan's Schools in the 21st Century. And I laid out some policy options for the governor and the legislature to take in order to address what I saw as clearly a problem that was going to impact our schools. And today the tsunami has arrived in a big, big, big way.
What did you see back then?
Well, what I took a look at, Tony, is that the rising cost primarily of health care and pensions for our schools. Be very clear. I feel that our teachers deserve, our great teachers deserve great pay and benefits and health care. The other aspect of that is we have to afford to be able to pay it. As we've talked many times, there's only three ways to balance a budget. Raise the revenue, decrease your expenditure, or the combination of the both. And I said that if we're going to pay these benefits and health care costs that are there, something's going to have to give. We're going to have to either put more money in or we're going to have to find a more effective and efficient way to deliver. If not, every single dollar that the governor and the legislature could find to put into our schools were going to be absorbed like a huge sponge by the rising health care and pension costs. And I called it the pothole of educational funding. If you can imagine, schools need approximately $200 to $300 per year, new money, just to fund those structural costs, those legacy costs of health care and pensions. Without that, you see what's happened over almost the last decade. The superintendent or the school board has to be like Pac-Man, going around and cutting something else, cutting art, cutting sports, cutting buses, cutting the bus service and food service and the like, in order to pay for those legacy costs.
In your report, because my next question was going to be, what were some of the solutions you had to fix this problem? But you thought the main solution, what you call a simple solution, would be to join the chorus that simply asked for more tax dollars to fund the schools.
Yeah, but at the same time, if you keep doing what you've always done, the old saying is you're going to keep getting what you've always got. And in this hyper-competitive, transformational, disruptive global economy, where jobs can and do move around the world effortlessly, just maintaining the system the way that it is isn't going to benefit the state, isn't going to benefit the individuals. So we have to, I think, as I've talked about before, it's not simply about changing, it's not putting the problem on the back of the educators, but it's saying we're going to have to do the new three R's, not reading, writing, and arithmetic, but restructure, reform, reinvent, and let's throw in a T with those new three R's, and that's transform education. We cannot continue to maintain the system. We have 550 local school districts, and while everyone wants that local school, that's costly. We need to share services at the municipal level and at the school level. We need to take a look at ways that we're going to pay for the rising health care and pension costs, because I don't think there's an appetite for anybody to put up a tax proposal. Let's raise the taxes in Lansing or Okemos or in the state of Michigan in order to fund, not education, but to fund rising health care and pension costs. I don't think there's an appetite for that by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, if you were to merge school districts, the argument is that the local communities won't really have control of their schools.
Well, Tony, I mean, that's an absurd point of view, because, in fact, across the nation, we have large school districts. Here, I live in Northville. Northville and Novi together would be a school district of 14,000 students. That is not a large school district, as you look around the country by any stretch of the imagination. There's nothing just magical about maintaining that. But the other is that I think if you just even look within your own home, almost everybody that we know has changed the way that they do business as a family because reality has struck. The state used to be considered a wealthy state. We're no longer considered a wealthy state. We used to have about a million more people working in this state than we do today, just a decade ago. We used to have the big three, and they're not so big anymore. It used to be that you could drop out of school, walk across the street to General Motors, Chrysler, Ford, the suppliers, and have a great job. That's gone, and it's never to return. So this is our new reality. What we make of it is up to us, and we have to get serious about a new transformational, reinvented state of Michigan, because we can't afford what we used to be able to afford in the state.
Well, Tom, when you wrote this report in 2004, you were the superintendent of schools. Well, why didn't you deal with them? Did you have the power? Did you have the tools you needed to deal with them?
Well, let's put this forth, Tony. I laid out the plan, and I called for dialogue and action between the State Board of Education, the legislature, and the governor to come together. Again, there were two different ways you can do it. Go out and raise the taxes. I didn't have the authority to do that. The governor and legislature did. They chose not to do that. They also had the authority to deal with the consolidation issue. They did nothing. And they had the authority to take a look at ways in which we could control and deal with the cost of rising health care and pension. Once again, nothing happened. Fast forward from 2004 to, I believe it was 2009, now, State Treasurer Andy Dillon, then Speaker of the House, came forth with a proposal to take a look at a statewide consolidation of the health care costs. His proposal, he said, could have saved $1 billion a year while maintaining the health care of the education community. Nothing happened with that. It went down in flames. Let's just say he was off by 50%. It still would have been about a $2 to $4 billion savings over the last 4 or 5 years.
All right, Tom, before I let you go, in your opinion, is Rick Snyder and his administration on the right track?
I think that they are on the right track, and I think the legislature has a responsibility to take a look at that and come up with other proposals. But it's going to require real change. We've been kicking the can down the road for far too long, and we're going to have to step up and find a solid foundation on which to rebuild Michigan. The legislature ought to do their job, but I think the governor has laid out proposals that we're going to have to deal with.
All right, Tom, I always appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Good to be with you.